ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
For nearly 15 years, the LGBT Resource Center on the UW-Milwaukee campus has worked to create a welcoming and a safe environment for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender students. Recently, UWM was named one of the top 30 universities in the country for its LGBTQ-friendly policies and programs. On this edition of UWM Today, we learn more about how UWM has built its reputation for inclusiveness with Jen Murray, the director of the LGBT Resource Center on the UWM campus. Welcome, Jen. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Tom. It's great to be here.
You've been with the center for a long time, almost since its inception in 2002.
That's right.
A lot of changes over the last 15 years, both in terms of the resource center and, boy, society. I mean, things are a little different now than when the center opened a decade and a half ago.
That's correct. You know, we have seen an immense amount of change. I would say that our campus, when I started there in 2004, was just on the edge of kind of opening doors for LGBT plus students. And I'll use LGBT plus to encompass lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender students. And we use the plus to just indicate that there are about 30 different identities that may be included. And so we want to make sure that everyone feels welcome. And so I will say that the plus is something that we added within the last 5 years because we were seeing that if we got to adding letters on, people were wondering what are the letters and what do they mean. So when I look at UWM and how we had have established things such as a pronoun card where we're talking about what pronouns people might use and making sure that people feel included around gender identity, gender expression, as well as their sexuality. We have really been at the forefront of leading and responding to the students' greatest needs.
In terms of the student behavior or their own sense of self and identity, has that changed over these last 15 years? Do students today coming to campus have a different attitude towards themselves and their identity than when the center opened back in 2002?
I would say that people are much more open about being true to who they are and wanting to find a space to be authentic and completely living into their full sense of themselves. So I say that we started in 2013 a niche overnight camp that's called Pride Camp, and it's Pride Discovery Camp. And we had a number of we had a group of 12 students who came through our first camp, and from that experience really gained a greater sense of who they were. So these are teenagers. We're bringing in 13 to 17-year-olds who are coming to our campus and having an opportunity to experience what is life like in higher education as an LGBT plus person, and also how to really develop a sense of their own self and the strength of their own leadership that they can bring back to their high school environments so that they can have that family home environment feeling inclusive and welcoming, that they can be then prepared to see themselves in higher education and expanding in their horizons and connecting to their own passions.
Who are the counselors at this camp? Who provides the assistance or support?
That's a great question. So we actually have current UWM students who serve in the role of the camp counselors. And in that case, they are getting exposure and an opportunity to be student leaders themselves and to be mentors of these LGBT plus youth. And so we've had tremendous support. The camp had a gap year. So we started in 2013. In 2014, we did not have the funding secured, and we had an anonymous donor come forward and indicate that they wanted to support and bring the camp back. And so we have had two successful additional years, and it will be taking place in summer 2017. So we're really excited that UWM students get to be able to serve as leaders and mentors for our LGBT plus youth, and we also get an opportunity to connect the LGBT plus youth with the various initiatives that are happening at UWM.
What happens in the center itself during the school year? What sort of activities or programs do you have that are specifically designed to help serve that LGBT plus community?
It's an excellent question. So we really have brought our fall welcome, as UWM has an immensely elaborate fall welcome experience for the students.
It goes on for weeks.
That's right. You're well aware of that. So our office has often had a welcome back reception where we bring students in, have them do sort of a meet and greet and an opportunity to get to know their new home, their new family, their new campus community. And then we bookend that with our Lavender graduation, which was generously the founding donor was Joseph R. Pabst. And he really allowed us to be able to have a Lavender graduation, which is a celebration of the students' accomplishments and achievements upon graduation. And so we really, in between there, we fill their lives and their experiences with anything from we have a summit this fall that will be the Queer Trans Person of Color Summit, and that'll be celebrating and looking at people who have multiple marginalized identities and are living completely and totally as themselves and honoring who they are. We have a space and a place where we're going to be creating a consciousness of what it looks like to be LGBT plus and living with a disability, LGBT plus and living as a person of color, LGBT plus and living in kind of a multiplicity of identities and looking at how to honor and respect that. And I think that's really critical at this point in time to have those programs that really dive in and examine what it looks like to be authentic and be your full self and be able to embrace all components of who you are and have students who have power and privilege understand where that comes from and how they can live in a space of showing up in their power and privilege in a way that does not dishonor the people who have experienced marginalization and other aspects of their identity. So I think the LGBT Resource Center strives to be around social justice and really invested and committed to that.
What about support resources? Do you have books? Do you have discussion groups? How much do you have to go ahead and work to pull people into the center with resources that you've got there? Or do people just walk in and say, hey, I'm here and I'm part of the family?
It's a combination of both. I would say that we have a number of students who will come in looking for resources for their projects and assignments. So they'll look at our lending library. Then we also have students who...
Whether they're LGBT or not.
Correct. And because we do a significant number of educational initiatives. So we have the Safe Space Training Program, and that takes us out into the classrooms and provides that education for LGBT plus students and also our allies. And so both of those are critical. And I think that really what we've seen ourselves do is be involved and engaged in connecting or meeting students where they're at to be able to bring them into a space of knowing more about the LGBT plus communities, peoples, and experience. So it's really making sure that we have that space and opportunity and place that people can discover who they are, learn more about being true to who they are, and be honored and respected for being themselves.
UWM is a big place, 27,000 or more students, 5,000 employees. It's like a little city. Or maybe a medium-sized city, actually not a little city. So you've got this huge cross-section of people from literally not only different parts of society, but from all over the world with 80 countries represented. How many of those people who do identify as LGBT, how many of them come to campus prepared to reveal their identity, to talk openly about who they are? Is there still a lot of coming out that occurs with people who are away from home perhaps for the first time?
Well, so I would say that LGBT History Month is October, and we do do programming around National Coming Out Day and National Coming Out Week. This year we'll have coming out monologues. So we have opportunities for folks to be connected to their coming out story, being connected to like understanding and knowing more about who they are. I think that in this day and age, we have people kind of in all places. There are people who come from various lived experiences of being able to be honored in their home environment, and also people who have maybe not been honored in their home environment. And so I think that UWM provides that opportunity to explore, discover, and be true to who you are at whichever point in your journey you are at.
Any sense of how many, though, come to campus and see this as a safe haven where for the first time they can be open with friends about their true identity?
So one of the things I really appreciate about UWM is that we really do work to make sure that people aren't required to out themselves or to like come into the, or to disclose their identities for really accessing our services. And so I think the UWM Student Association set us up well when they began with the student segregated fee funds to say that like they wanted us to be able to be a space that was welcoming and inclusive and not necessarily requiring anyone to disclose their identity. So we don't have that data collected necessarily about the percentage or the number of people. There is a national sort of standard that's that was given as like a 10% on an average, and that comes from Kinsey. And then they have Dr. Sue Rankin and Associates did about 20% if you're at the generous end of the scale, or 4% of any given population will be LGBT plus identified. And so we do have kind of those percentages that come from research and academia. But I wouldn't say that like we necessarily have.
There's no census.
We don't have a census, and we don't ask for any cards or any identification.
You know, it's been an incredibly interesting past few years in terms of societal attitudes towards people who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, and certainly perhaps the biggest watershed has been the Supreme Court decision last year that said you can get married. You know. Gay marriage is allowed. What impact did that have on the folks on the UWM campus who identify as gay?
You know, I think that we've seen a generation that's grown up more open-minded. So I would say Generation Z, the students that are coming into our campus, are students who are readily accessing that sense of self that they need to have to be able to be true to who they are, and also to be able to live into that space. And so I would say that the society, we're kind of a microcosm of the macrocosm. So if you look at UWM as really just reflecting what we've seen in larger society in terms of being open, I think we were on the forefront and the cutting edge in terms of being the first UW system school to have inclusive housing, looking at having significant partnerships across the city where people have invested in our educational initiatives. BMO Harris Bank is in their fourth year of committing funds to see our safe space training program grow, as well as see our other educational work be revised and revitalized. And so I think that we have a number of people who have seen the value of what UWM is offering, not only to our campus but also to the greater community in Milwaukee. And so I think with those with that, I would say that UWM and what has happened in society in terms of our Supreme Court decision, I think that it's far off for students to be thinking about the marriage and like marriage equity, but I do think that they are excited to see that like gender identity might be included into like different policies and different different practices where people can be honored for being in their gender identity. And so I think folks are focused on kind of where they're at in their own development. But I also would say that, you know, having a society that's become more open-minded and more affirming of LGBT plus communities certainly is helpful to just enhancing and adding to what UWM has already had going for it.
Certainly an 18-year-old who comes to Milwaukee and having lived in these last few years where there's a much more open discussion in society about your sexual identity, their experiences are going to be different, I suspect, than a 40-year-old on campus or a 50-year-old who may have been living through a time where there was, you know, outright discrimination and, you know, and not nearly the amount of consideration or acceptance that my sense is that you find today. Is that a fair statement?
You know, I think that is a fair statement on one level. I have a great amount of pride in the fact that UWM, because of our Lavender graduation, has established an LGBT alumni chapter in a way that alumni can reconnect with the institution. And they've also put together scholarships. And then I also see Cream City Foundation has created scholarship opportunities. And when I think of, you know, people who are returning to campus and maybe are of a non-traditional age, those people are actually thrilled and ecstatic to be able to see that the campus community has an LGBT resource center that's established, and also to see that there is a sense of community because they do recall when they maybe entered college the first time not having that same sort of welcoming and inclusive environment. And they do share that information, and having opportunities where we do have dialogue or connections to different community events, we do see that there are possibilities where LGBT plus elders can share of their journey and how it really is the doors have opened and times have changed.
So what's the reaction when these older folks interact with that 18-year-old who just came in from, I don't know, Mosinee, Wisconsin, and, you know, is now in the big city?
You know, I think that the interaction is really one of an opportunity to share gratitude and see that, you know, that to be able to appreciate, you know, maybe what society and our world and UWM has opened up to in terms of LGBT plus inclusiveness, and having an administration that kind of continually invests in that is critical. And I think that seeing the work at multiple levels, specifically looking around policy change and policy advocacy, has been something that I think that the 40-year-old can sort of illuminate for the 18-year-old.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. So good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack, and joining us in the studio this week is Jen Murray. Jen is the director of the LGBT Plus Center on the UWM campus. Underline the plus, as Jen noted the importance of real inclusivity a little earlier in the interview. And we're talking about the work that the center is doing. It recently was named, the campus was named among the top 30 universities in the entire country in terms of having a welcoming, friendly environment for people who are lesbian, bisexual, transgender, gay, and other identities that touch upon your sexual orientation. Jen, as you take a look at the work that is possible, you made an important note a little bit earlier in commenting on the fact that it really is the students who are not only supporting but funding this initiative, because your work is done really as a result of investments that students make with their own fees as opposed to tax dollars.
That's correct. And I think that what's really critical about that is the UWM Student Association has continually created leadership opportunities. They have an LGBT plus advocacy senator, someone who actually has an opportunity to be elected into a student government role and think about what does it look like to shape the campus policies, programs, educational initiatives for our campus community and then beyond. So I think that UWM Student Association and the student segregated fee share governance process has been instrumental in our being able to have the presence that we have and to grow in the way that we've grown.
You're located on the first floor of the Union, right in the middle of the terrace cafeteria, you know, right out there in the open. Do you ever have people walk into your center who happen to be straight, who say, what's this all about? You know, any discoveries that that take place in the day-to-day course of campus life?
Yeah, so I would say that we're in a highly visible location, and being in that highly visible location, you know, we emphasize that we're really welcoming to all people, and there is no requirement to be able to, like, out yourself or to share your identities as you enter into our space. Folks may inquire, like, what does the space do? What are we here for? And we really are there to create an inclusive and welcoming environment. That means that there's a space, a lounge space where students may study, they may meet up to be able to connect to their campus family or their friend group. And then we also have programs, small-scale programs, whether it's watching having movie nights in our family room, as we call it, or if it's having a game night where people are getting together and, you know, playing different games, video games, that there are social aspects, and then there are the educational aspects where we have programs where we're talking about the variety of LGBT plus identities, hot topics, whether it's, you know, looking at gender identity and gender expression being added into, you know, state policies and how that becomes inclusive and how that resonates with inclusive housing. We also work closely with our social justice living learning community. So we have a number of ways in which we kind of connect into the campus and then engage students and invite them in. And in particular, we're out in the classrooms. And so BMO Harris Bank has invested in our being able to be in the classrooms through our Safe Space training program. And so we do tailored fit programs and trainings and workshops for the classroom communities. We'll be working with the clinical students for the College of Nursing this fall. We'll also be working with the athletics department the athletics department in order training will do an introduction for their new student athletes. So we have a number of different ways in which we are in the classroom engaging with people, providing them with the foundational language around LGBT plus communities, and then also looking at how to have development of ally relationships in terms of making that an ongoing process, really building allyship.
We have students from over 80 countries on the UWM campus. Different needs that you see or perhaps different interests that might exist from students who are not from the United States, which I think probably compared to a lot of other countries has a much more open attitude or approach gay rights?
Yes, we've built great synergy with our Center for International Education and our Study Abroad office. So in terms of LGBT plus students being able to study abroad, that's been phenomenal. But then in terms of the international students in our campus community, we've hired and had LGBT plus identified international students serve on our student staff, as well as develop curriculum, training, and kind of foster that relationship around what it looks like to be in the U.S. and living in U.S. culture around LGBT plus identity and how that might be distinct and different from their home countries. Furthermore, I think the other piece that is exciting is that we established a preferred name system where people are able to indicate their preferred name, and especially for international students where we have lazy English, American-speaking tongues, it might be difficult to pronounce their name from their home country. And so they may opt into the preferred name system. And that just is a way for them to be able to use a name. If their name is Runhua, maybe they would use Ryan on our campus. And then they can use that name for sort of internal purposes and internal documents without it interfering with the external documents and international processes. And so we've had that great synergy of working with international students to make sure that there is an inclusive and welcoming environment for them as well.
A selling point for the university, does the fact that you now the campus is in this ranking of top 30, an organization called Campus Pride, a nonprofit group that assesses the way in which organizations, businesses, universities create environments that are or are not welcoming to people regardless of their sexual orientation. Does the fact that you're in that top 30 ranking now have any effect on recruitment? Do you think that people who are gay look at or look for universities that are doing better? Is that one of the criteria that may be at the top of someone's list when saying, where do I go to college?
Absolutely. I believe that is definitely something that young people are looking at. And I think we've seen that from our Pride Discovery Camp that I mentioned earlier. I think that summer camp where we've brought 13 to 17-year-olds, of which we've had one-third of our participants arrive back at UWM as a new incoming students. So that's exciting to see that those young people who are engaged at our LGBT plus camp, summer camp, are seeing UWM as a destination because of the fact that we have a high ranking, but also we are invested in continual improvement and looking at how we can grow and expand and continue to meet and serve the students' needs and find ways to emphasize our openness, inclusivity, and our intentionality around policies, programs, and education that are LGBT plus supportive.
What about parents or other family members? Any connection or interaction between the center and the parents of the students?
I would say that in terms of our connection with parents, a lot of times it will be around a parent coming at new student orientation with their new student, sharing with us, I am thrilled to know that you are here because I feel as if I'm bringing my child into a space where I know that they're going to have an immediate family and an immediate point of connection and an immediate place to be able to be comfortable and be themselves. And I think inclusive housing has illuminated that for us as well. And that's an option where people can opt into through a filtration process, an application process, living in a space that would feel most comfortable for them in terms of their gender identity, their sexual identity, and so on and so forth. So that, I think, are those pieces. I think parents have remarked to me that they're really grateful that they are not, it's not just like a high school club, like a gender and sexuality alliance, but they're actually seeing us integrated into the campus fabric and the campus community in such a way that there's visibility and support for their student throughout their time at UWM.
How many of them see a place like UWM as a starting point for a fresh start after perhaps some not so positive experiences in high school.
I think that that also is the case where students will say that they maybe didn't have the greatest experience in high school. They received bullying or discrimination. And I think that then being able to be at UWM and in a place where they know that we have a non-discrimination policy that protects for sexual orientation and gender identity and gender expression. We have a commitment to, being, I guess, in the state where we were the first state in 1983 to pass sexual orientation in our state law protection. So I think of the way in which we as a state have been very progressive and forward thinking, and then UWM has just picked up on that and furthered it in terms of making sure that there are ways that we have practices, policies, programs, and initiatives that kind of bring folks into being able to be themselves, really.
And finally, one last area, curriculum. Any impact that the Resource Center has had on what's taught in the classroom?
Absolutely. I mentioned earlier the College of Nursing and their clinical students. They're bringing us in. They're actually doing a clinical program with the Alliance High School. And so I think that we have an opportunity to provide that foundational knowledge and information and around LGBT plus communities, people, and experiences. We also are able to do tailor-fit trainings for whether it's the School of Education or the School of Business. I think we've had, all of the schools and colleges, whether it's Zilber School of Public Health, looking at talking about, programs where we are featuring, the intersectionality and the complexity and the beauty of LGBT plus communities.
So 15 years of service to the campus, what's next? As you look in your crystal ball, what is on the horizon for the Resource Center?
I think that the horizon includes continued investment and donor support from external entities, whether it's Pride Milwaukee or the BMO Harris Bank, Cream City Foundation. We have a number of people who have seen the value in what we're doing on our campus and are really committed to furthering that. I think, again, working closely with our UWM Student Association and saying, how is it that we can better take in the students' needs and meet those students' needs, as well as make visible the possibilities of what it looks like to be LGBT plus in the next 20 years. I think that we're going to be continually, ideally, working myself out of a job so that there won't need to be an LGBT center on our campus. But no,
just part of the air we breathe.
That's right. That's right. We'll just be infused into all aspects and all dimensions, whether it's in the classroom, in the curriculum, and or in the programs and the experiences. That is what I see us doing.
Well, best of luck for the next 15 years.
Thank you.
And thanks for being our guest on this edition of UWM Today. Jen Murray, who's director of the LGBT plus Resource Center on the UWM campus. Center recently named, actually the campus named, one of the top 30 campuses in the entire country in terms of its friendly policies and policies of inclusiveness. Well, that's all for this week's program. We will see you next week at the same time. Take care, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.